The Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is presented by Geico. Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Go to geico.com today.
Fantasy, you're in the 06010. Focus. Fantasy. Fantasy Focus.
Happy November to you, Rabbit on the first day of the month. Welcome into the Friday edition of the Fantasy Focus Football Podcast.
Rabbit. You don't know this? You're too late.
I know. Well, I said it this morning when I woke up. Yes.
Okay. Well, I just realized when you said it that I didn't, and now I'm upset.
Well, I'll explain the tradition to Matthew. There is a long-standing tradition. I don't know if it's good luck. I think it is good luck. I think that the implication is to incur good luck for the month. The first thing that you say on the first day of the month is rabbit. Or if you text someone, you text them rabbit. So every day, first day of the month, when I wake up, I text Chapin two rabbit emojis. Do you not do this with Beth?
No. Our rabbit discussion is different. I'll just leave it at that.
This explains your bad luck.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, that you've never done bunny. But I thought it used to be bunny, rabbit.
Oh, really?
That's what I learned.
I've literally never heard
I've never heard this at all.
No, me
like,
either.
It's not one of these things that like I've heard about and I just haven't done it. Like, I've never heard this before.
A lot to unpackage here. I thought this was generally accepted. People just knew what rabbit was.
I need a poll.
Apparently, I'm part of the vocal minority.
Have you heard of first thing you say on first of the month is rabbit.
Or bunny, rabbit.
I think it's possible. This feels like there's a chance. This could be like close to 50-50.
I'm older than Field, so don't tell me I'm confusing it because I've been doing it longer.
You're not older than I am, Stefania.
Barely.
She is. She has definitely been doing it longer.
Matthew's still back on Soap on a Rope.
We had a whole, literally our pre-show meeting was entirely about Soap on a Rope. I have no idea how this show gets anything done. And by the way, I should just point this out as long as we're completely off the rails here. And just saying, like, not only do I not know how anything on this show ever gets done, I have no idea why people listen to this show, but they do in droves. And I'm very upset at everyone because we ask everyone to, all we want you to do is download and not listen. But apparently the month of October is our most downloaded month in the history of the 06010. Most listened to, most downloaded.
That applause the biggest is for numbers, all of you out there downloading.
For ignoring us. For downloading, we just care about the clicks. We don't want you to listen to the content. You'll enjoy it more if you just click it and don't listen.
Well, but you said the most downloaded month ever. Sure. That's a very different thing than the most listened to podcast.
We think it's
ever
the most listened to one. What do you think, Secret Squirrel?
Unfortunately, I probably think it's the most listened to month as well.
It's the most listened to month in the history of the 06010. Yeah, I think, and right. I believe this is the 12th year of the 06010.
That is accurate. Yeah.
So in 12 years.
Wow. See, for those of you out there that are saying, hey, nothing good comes after you turn the age 50, look at Matthew. After the age of 50, he started the most successful run of podcasting that the history of fantasy football sports has ever seen. A lot else going on today.
5 years after I finally get rid of Nate. There you go. Finally success.
By the way, it's also Jersey Day.
Nate.
National
Jersey Day. Our thanks to our friends at the NFLPA and Fanatics.
For outfitting us.
You are going back to Minshew Mania.
I was going
to
say, I might just never change.
Right.
I might just leave this on forever. I wore this yesterday, albeit I shaved my mustache, which...
I know.
Sorry to the people.
What about the mustache?
More importantly than your mustache, what about your legs?
My legs have not been shaved.
I got hair shaved yesterday. I got so many comments on Instagram and Twitter like, yo, your boy's legs, you got to do something about it.
I got hair shaved. I tell you, the internet was... They're biting yesterday.
Yes, they were.
I don't know. I mean, so the funny thing
was.
Did
you have a filter on that made the
legs? That's what I think is happening.
I think that was the case.
My own wife was like, What happened to your legs? I was like, she's like, do you have that hairy of legs? I was like, I don't know. We sleep in the same bed every night. You tell me. The answer?
You filter. I think a filter issue. Though. She might not know.
I just like the fact that when you said rabbit, Chapin went shave. That was her little thing back to you.
That's right. That was
that's
a good point.
Yeah,
yeah, it's true.
That's what I believe.
Yeah. So my legs, I got dark hair. But you know something?
What's that?
It's also like a compensation issue. I can't grow facial hair, so I can grow some leg hair. That's all.
There you go. Nice job, Stefania. No comment on your legs, but you are, you went Jimmy G.
Is this shocking to anyone?
No, it's not at all.
And also, some of us know how to pick a winner. And by the way, I think Jimmy G knew wow. that I was going to wear the jersey today. And
you
he
think
went
that's
out and
what
had
it was?
The best game of his career.
How about that?
To celebrate the best month of the 06010's history.
That's what it really was.
Jimmy Garoppolo holding off Nick Mullins. Once again, you know, an important game. Just barely holding off Nick Mullins.
Green is not a pretty color on you.
Ooh,
let's
wow.
be clear about this. I have pictures from yesterday that actually would suggest otherwise.
Actually,
I was impressed by your costume.
Thank you very much.
I have to say, was impressed by your army.
You were a tree, right? I couldn't tell what that was.
I was
a tree.
NFL Live. I was on NFL Live yesterday, and the theme was obviously Toy Story. So
you were one of the army men.
I was one of the army men.
No, it was
Buzz and Woody were taken. So yeah, went with an army man.
Well done there. A lot of fun on Halloween.
A lot of fun on Halloween. Secret Squirrel. Real quickly, we'll do everyone's costumes. Obviously, you went Lions.
Well, yes. Yep, I'm a Lions. I got a Kerryon Johnson jersey here, which is fantastic. Keith, who I am stoked on, Joshua Cribbs.
From? You know this, Keith? You know where you went to college, right?
Kent State.
There we go, baby.
Yeah, woo-hoo.
Kent State. Love it. Love it.
Josh Cribbs jersey. Thirsty Kyle is in Saquon.
Saquon, yeah. You know where he went to college.
Yes. Yes, I do.
We are.
And then Jackson, random new guy Jackson.
We're working
is
on
wearing, that's Goff, right?
Jared Goff jersey.
Yeah.
Is that Jared Goff
yeah.
or Jared Goff? For those who may have missed Katie Nolan's costume last night in her show.
Katie Nolan's costume was terrific.
Funny. Yeah.
It was very funny. So she went as Jared Goff.
We got a guest here today as well. Sam, longtime listener of the podcast.
Yep,
fan.
Our friend Sam wearing a TJ Watt jersey.
Ooh, there you go.
All the way from California. Throw out for
TJ
Watt.
TJ Watt as opposed to JJ Watt.
Well, yeah, because she's a Steelers fan, so she got the Steelers player, not the Texans player.
Yes,
usually you get them from the team that you're a fan of.
Damien is wearing my polo jersey. He's wearing the jersey that I
Damien,
wear.
Damien is the only one
where's
who didn't dress up.
Spirit?
Thanks, Statapillar.
Yeah. Statapillar. Statapillar's not wearing anything. I thought about my little Cooper Cup. I have a Terry McLaurin as well, but had to go ultimately with Waller the Baller, number 83. It's the first year, I think, that we've done Jersey Day that I haven't worn a Redskin. So, which tells
took
you
about 4 years
yeah,
too long.
Exactly, right, exactly. Anyway, so Waller the Baller, you guys know I love Darren Waller. So, yeah, number 83 on the field, number one in your hearts. He's the man.
Football.
Let's talk football.
Rewind. Fantasy news from the National Football League.
This is the instant replay.
We had a game last night. 49ers take care of business 28-25 on the road in a short week in Arizona. They are now undefeated, 8-0 halfway through the season. But there was a surprise star last night. Well, there were a few of them, but one of them was for the Cardinals. Kenyon Drake, who had been in Arizona for like 100 hours by the time the game actually began, finished with 15 carries, 110 yards with a touchdown, 4 catches for 52 yards.
Is that
plus
good?
A 2-point conversion, 28.2 fantasy.
Feels
points.
Like it's good.
And that once he had the 2-point conversion, it became good.
Sure.
I mean,
162 total yards, most total yards against the 49ers this year, beats Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah, as a matter of fact.
Like, who had for like the top two running backs against the 49ers this year will be Christian McCaffrey at 2. Okay, that makes sense. And Kenyon Drake. 2 days after he gets there from Miami.
They had allowed a single touchdown to opposing running backs up to this point in the season.
Yep.
And then Kenyon Drake scores on the opening drive. So let's just listen. We understand. Yes, believe it or not, we are not super optimistic about Kenyon Drake. Hours after being acquired. Hold on.
Yeah.
Hours after being acquired against a very difficult San Francisco 49ers defense. An Arizona Cardinals offensive line that was out was without multiple starting offensive linemen. So believe it or not, we are a little bit less than optimistic.
Yeah.
He had a great night. Until David night. Johnson returns, is this as simple as, hey, David Johnson misses next week, if he does, I should say. You're just going to roll out Kenyon Drake until Chase Edmonds and David Johnson return and do so with confidence?
Yes and no.
Okay, good.
So am I rolling him out there? Yes. I don't know how you don't because, I mean, just the volume of work. Right. The volume of work, right? I mean, like, he got 19 touches. Right. But in terms of rolling him out there with confidence, no, because we've seen this from Kenyon Drake before, right? We've seen him have big games before. I mean, like on bad Miami teams, like not necessarily this year, but in previous years at Miami. And we've been like, oh, what? Free Kenyon Drake. And then for whatever, we've seen this big playability. We've seen him have monster games. And you look at their upcoming schedule. They're at Tampa Bay next week. They're at San Francisco again. Then they've got a bye week. And then they're at their home to the Rams. And so listen, they obviously the 49ers are a great run defense and Drake had, you know, a monster game against them, but you know, it's a short week and they were traveling to Arizona. So Tampa Bay's a very good run defense here. I think as long as David Johnson is out and we expect Chase Edmonds to be out for a while, as long as David Johnson's out, yes. Am I starting him? Yes. But am I starting him with confidence? And I think it's a no-brainer and he's turned the corner now that he's in Arizona. He's a fantasy god. No, I don't.
Emmanuel Sanders had a monster game last night.
Do you disagree with any of that?
No, I'm good with you on that. I feel the same way.
And can, one last thing on Kenyon Drake here that I think it's important to, like we always say, oh, sell high after a big performance, which, and that's always sort of the obvious thing, and you're not going to be able to trade him right now because he's just played. But I'm just going to say that to me, what this performance is, more importantly, is this is a bit of a death knell to Chase Edmonds' fantasy value. When David Johnson comes back, he's David Johnson. I have no worries about Kenyon Drake taking significant touches away from David Johnson. I am worried about Kenyon Drake taking work away from Chase Edmonds.
And vice versa, by the way.
Yes.
Chase Edmonds, when he returns, means that Kenyon Drake no longer, at least in my estimation, will be somebody you play, assuming David Johnson is back.
I agree.
Emmanuel
but
Sanders.
It feels like Chase Edmonds is going to be out longer, Stefania.
Yeah. It feels like Chase Edmonds will be out longer. It feels like David Johnson will be back by their next game.
Emmanuel Sanders had 7 catches for 112 yards and a touchdown. Second straight game. Well, his second game period with the 49ers.
Second
he has scored a touchdown. Looks really good right now. And Stefania, you got to feel really awesome about your offensive performance between he and Jimmy G, who had a career high 4 touchdown passes.
So this felt like they were really clicking. They were totally in sync. And I don't necessarily think this is going to be the roadmap for Emmanuel Sanders going forward, but it certainly looked really good last night.
It did, Matthew. But this
in the postgame press conference, or not press conference, but on the field, talking with Aaron Andrews, Jimmy Garoppolo said basically, when asked about Sanders, just talked about the fact that he's picked things up quickly. Mm-hmm. Obviously, he's a pro, and you know that they're already on the same page in a lot of ways. That it's been he's been impressed with. I'm paraphrasing, but in essence, he's been very impressed with how quickly Emmanuel Sanders has picked everything up. And again, not surprising given his success in the league and how long he's been in the league.
As Emmanuel Sanders posted on his own Twitter account today, he's a professional chains mover, and he was last night, including scoring a touchdown. Again, as I mentioned, his second in as many games. Maybe Garoppolo's an interesting Week 11 streaming option. He plays against the Cardinals again, that time at home. You've got guys like Aaron Rodgers and Russell Wilson on a bye. For those that are thinking ahead by a week and you have the roster spot at the back end of your bench, might be a worthwhile forward-thinking ad.
I mean, listen, it's tough, right? Because, I mean, Garoppolo looked great. Like, give him credit. You know,
But they throw the ball so infrequently.
That's what I was going to say. It's the run-heaviest team in the NFL. Having said that, they play Seattle next week.
Yeah,
I mean, Seattle's right. Would be
Someone
a great
be there.
Yeah, that'll be a. Yeah. Oh, are you going?
No, Stefania.
Oh, Stefania's going to that? Look at you, boondoggle. A mid-season boondoggle. Usually the boondoggles happen in the off-season, but let's hear it for Stefania for a mid-season boondoggle. Figuring out a way to fly cross-country.
Monday Night Football. My hope is that... My hope is that Mina will decide to come to that game.
Sure.
It's just a short jaunt for her. She's
it is a short jaunt.
She's not very busy right now, I don't think.
No,
so
she's...
Look, if you're committed to your team, Mina, this is a challenge. I'm flying across the country to go to mine. Maybe you want to come and join.
So let me just
moment.
Right. So yeah, just calling out Mina Kimes. Let me rephrase that for Mina.
Did you see Mina's tweet reply to me last night when she posted something and
no,
I responded.
I did she not said, see this exchange.
Yeah, well, take a look. She said, "Cocky Niner Stefania is my favorite development in 2019."
Interesting.
She thinks it's a development.
It's definitely not a development. She hasn't listened to the 06710. She's clearly just a downloader. I'll just say this. Mina, what Stefania is asking is can you also shirk your responsibilities and boondoggle your way up to the Monday Night Football game? That's what she's asking, right?
Sounds like a challenge right there.
Sounds like a challenge.
Let's get to what I think is perhaps the biggest question of the week.
Oh, and my whole point of bringing that game up, Field, was just know that the Seattle's
so
defense
messy.
Is bad. Sales defense is bad, and so that Garoppolo could be a viable streamer next week. Yeah.
Right. That's a good point there. Yes, the Seahawks defense has had some struggles so far this season. Great test. I cannot wait for that game on Monday Night Football. So, the Patriots defense has been historically good through the first 8 games of the season. The 49ers defense was comparably as good going into last night, and it was sort of their first sign of vulnerability.
Look, it was 4 days later.
But
Arizona always plays them tough.
But where I was going with that is that if the 49ers defense can be, the word's not exposed, but if they have nights where they are not Superman-like, perhaps it can happen to other defenses as well. And I know it sounds crazy because he's been, I believe, the number one quarterback in fantasy so far this season, but if this applies to Lamar Jackson and all Ravens, are we sitting any or all of the Baltimore Ravens this weekend when they play against the Patriots defense? Matthew, by the ranks, in a 10-team league, I believe that's what you are suggesting, is Lamar Jackson makes your hate list this week.
He did. You think about you think about what Bill Belichick has done against athletic quarterbacks, right? So you think about Josh Allen twice, Deshaun Watson, Mitchell Trubisky, Blake Bortles. Like, since the beginning of last year, he's played 5 games against those quarterbacks, right? And all of them, in various ways, get fantasy points from the legs. No, none to the extent of Lamar Jackson, of course. But still, well, in those 5 games, they averaged just 42 rushing yards, 2 rushing scores total in those 5 games. It's not bad, but not Lamar Jackson levels, not what those guys had previously done. My expectation is that Bill Belichick basically says, like, you know what, Lamar, I'm going to take my chances with you as a passer. And so given how good that secondary is, and given that it's hard to count on Lamar Jackson, listen, Lamar Jackson's a special player. So if anyone can, like, you know, sort of
break
the trend and duck and dart and video game his way. I mean, Lamar Jackson looks like a video game sometimes out there, right?
He does, yeah.
Like, he's a special player. So if anyone could do that, I think Lamar Jackson could. But yeah, in a week where there's some quarterbacks with some good matchups, I have him outside my top 10. I am nervous about him against Bill Belichick and those pass catchers against that secondary.
I've got him inside my top 10 this week. Are we close enough that, like, you think this is board bet material?
I mean, I have him at 11.
Okay.
Like,
so I mean,
like, I'm outside my top 10.
I'm with you. By the way, but to further that point, I know, I get what you're saying. I still feel like if I have him, I would be starting him this week. But
depends on your options.
Just to further the quarterback note about rushing attempts, no quarterback has ever rushed for more than 100 yards against the Bill Belichick-led Patriots defense. Now, maybe that changes on Sunday, because you can make the case they have never played a quarterback with Lamar's athletic skills, and let's be honest, few have ever played the position in the NFL, but something to keep in mind. A good prop bet that some might be wagering on come Sunday night.
Yeah.
Daniel, you have somebody you want to ask.
So you think that the Patriots defense is going to score more points than Lamar Jackson this week?
That's a great prop bet. No, I would still take, That's a tough one. Because I have to tell you something.
That was not Cool Keith. I just don't want to take credit for that. That was not Cool Keith that came up with that.
That makes sense, because not Cool Keith is smart.
I'll take Lamar in that one. Do you want the Patriots defense or no?
I'll take the Patriots defense. What a YOLO. But you want,
just so
I'll
you know,
that.
The Patriots defense has outscored the quarterback they face in every game except week one. Roethlisberger.
There you go.
Oh, yeah.
I say the Patriots defense outscores Lamar Jackson in fantasy this week.
I say Lamar Jackson outscores the Patriots defense in fantasy this week.
Put it on the board.
All right, so Lamar,
I've gotten some criticism on the Twitter there, which is weird, because normally everyone that follows me on Twitter is super positive, but every once in a while, a negative comment will seep through. And somebody has asked me, they said, what's the point of the board? Because we don't have to decide this now, but should we have some sort of stakes to the board? We've always sort of just done it for fun, for pride, like it means something, but should we do something?
Yeah, we all love steak here. If you guys want to put steaks on it, we're good with steaks.
Whoever wins
has to buy steaks,
like,
for
on
you,
a weekly
you
basis
animals?
Or like at the end of the season?
I think at the end. I mean, you tell me. I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, like, we haven't had somebody in the past. I think I've won it in 3 straight seasons, right?
I think you... we can look it up.
I think I won one in there. I won one in there, but you've had a nice run here.
Yeah, I don't know. Let's think about it.
We could put some stuff on there. Yeah, Field, if you win at the end of the year, you can have Matthew shave your legs for you or something like that.
Oh, there you go. It's nice.
IFB is not working. Sorry, I can't hear what you're saying.
No, he suggested that if I win, I could shave your legs.
Oh, okay. That's good. I like
right.
that idea.
Or if you win, I could shave your legs. I don't know who's in a president anymore.
I guess it's like a win-win for both of you there.
You know what? It's a win for America.
If I win,
it's a win for Chapin. I'll tell you that much.
Chapin's the one that wins.
All right.
What do you got, Knuckle Keith?
The results are, last 3 years, last year, Field 12-10. 2017, Field 10-9. That was a defensive struggle.
And then
2016, Field kicked a field goal late, 23-20.
I feel like one of those years was the one where you got the controversial cornhole one where you got it, where he got like a half hour to practice and warm up at the cornhole, and I had to come there and just to do a cold
game. Am I 3-0 in the last 3 years? Is that what we just established?
Yeah.
3-0?
Fair enough. Listen, I'm up to a list. We'll see. We'll see. I'm up 6-1 so far this year.
Actually, here we go. Yeah. To follow up on the cornhole point, 2015.
Yeah.
Tied 22-22. Mm. Matthew wins cornhole tiebreaker. So you actually misremembered Roger Clemens.
Oh, okay.
But we'll take it.
I'll take it. I'll take the cornhole tiebreaker.
All right, we got to move along here. More on these Ravens, though.
So we won one of the last 4.
We talked about this yesterday with Marquise Brown. Mike brought it up in terms of the wide receiver cornerback matchup. But Stavanya, just to update his health status and where he's at in terms of practice reports so far this week.
Yeah, been limited in practice this week. I certainly think he's got a shot to play. I mean, he's been out. This will be 4 weeks since he originally injured his foot. So I think after the bye week, we feel a lot better about him. I could see him coming in as questionable.
Okay.
And then being a game time decision.
As you know, with Marquise Brown, you've got a couple of factors here. One, he's not healthy right now. Two is that he has been up and down when he has played. Three, it's a really tough matchup. So we would not advise playing Marquise Brown pretty clearly from the ranking so far if you do understand the risk involved. And although Mark Ingram and Mark Andrews might have a tougher day than usual relative to their normal standards, we still have them as starters. So Mark Andrews still a top five tight end option. Mark Ingram still a top 20 running back option because incredible volume, especially for Ingram. Now, in the same division as the Patriots is the Buffalo Bills. And if you are playing a Bills running back this week, who is it? Because I can make the case for Frank Gore, whereas the numbers might make the case for Devin Singletary.
Make the case for Frank Gore.
That he still is getting a ton of run, and I think that they're going to be able to run the football effectively and perhaps move the football effectively against the Redskins, that they can sort of bleed out the clock. In games in which the Bills are competitive or trailing, I should say. Trailing or in a tight game, you might see more Devin Singletary because they need to run the football more. In games where they might have a comfortable lead, you might see more Frank Gore, which is why you can make the case to me for Frank Gore over Devin Singletary. You feel the inverse.
I do. I mean, first off, like, so Singletary, you know, played 67% of the snaps last week. Frank Gore, under 30%. This is in week eight. So again, and you just think about who's got a big playability, right? Right. So, I mean, all you really need is one, right, to pay off for your sort of your fantasy day here. And again, I'm the highest on Singletary among all of us. I'm at 23.
Okay.
So, I mean, I have him as a high end flex play. So none of us have him as a starter this week, but I have him as a high end flex play. I'm higher among the three of us here. You guys both have him in the 30s, but my point is that you only need one big play, right? So Frank Gore has 95 carries so far this season. Devin Singletary has 20. Devin Singletary actually has one more carry gaining more than 15 yards, 5-4 in terms of big plays. And yet,
more explosive.
Much more explosive here to me, the Bills, who are a double digit favorite. They're basically a 10-point favorite. Maybe it's moved down to 9.5, but, I think they run the ball effectively with both guys. And so I think wanting to get Devin Singletary up to speed so far, I mean, again, he's got this big playability. He's played a lot more snaps last week in a game in which the Bills obviously were competitive last week as well. Give me Devin Singletary. I'll do a board bet there.
I was going to say, I'm going to hate myself for making this board bet, but just for fun. Why not? Why not? We need more board bets in our life. Everybody wants them.
I say Devin Singletary outscores Frank Gore in week number 9.
I say Frank Gore outscores Devin Singletary in week number 9.
Put it on the board.
Put it on the board.
By the way, I love my favorite summation of this game was actually something I thought of myself. The Redskins.
Hang on for one second. He would just so we're clear, his favorite summation is the one that he thought of himself.
Yes, right. But it's
not good. Not that anyone else has thought of, but the one that Fields thought of himself.
Correct. The Redskins, the team that says we have a damn good culture versus the Bills, the team that actually does have a damn good culture.
It's a good call. That's actually a great call.
You know what? You understand.
Yeah. Also, that's $2 for the swear box field. So you know.
Oh, sorry.
Mama Dop always watches.
She's going to wash my mouth with a bar of soap on a rope later?
No, it's not a bar if it's on the rope. It's soap on the rope.
I don't get it. I don't know how. Is it a bar or not?
It's a bar of soap that's tied with a rope.
First of all, it's circular, usually.
It's not a bar.
No.
Sometimes there is bar soap on a rope.
Keith, I know you understand this.
Sometimes there is bar soap on a rope.
There is sometimes.
Thank you, Not Cool Kid.
Or has been.
Thank you.
Another board bet win for me, baby.
Oh, my God. I'm just saying.
Okay, moving along.
I'm surrounded by...
Moving along. Fantasy Focus Football is brought to you by ADT. What does real protection mean for our listeners? You can get all the latest innovation in smart home security from ADT, combined with 24/7 monitoring from the most trusted name in home security. You got a team of professionals designing and installing a secure smart home just for you and your family. You get 18,000, that's a lot, wow, employees safeguarding you with connection to first responders. You get the nation's number one smart home security provider. You can get a secure smart home with everything from video doorbells, indoor and outdoor cameras, smart locks and lights, all that controlled from the ADT app or the sound of your voice. You can get professionally monitored carbon monoxide and smoke detectors. Plus, you get a system custom designed to fit your home, large or small. You can get safety on the go, whether you are in the car or when your kids are at school, with the ADT Go app with an SOS button. They protect us. You go out there and support ADT.
She's not a clone. She's your favorite gal. She's
Very quickly before we get to Stefania's injuries, I just want to do a quick update here on the poll. You want to give us a poll here? You want to give a quick poll result? Because you're getting crushed like a grape, Field Yates.
Sure, let's do it.
The rabbit poll.
Yep, let's do it. What's the quick update?
The quick update is 91% say no.
What do we have, like 9 votes?
We have 662 votes.
Okay. Well, people are, I mean, 91% here's the thing is that I'm not the only person that's heard of it. Stefania also has heard of it.
Yeah.
I'm just, fantasy folks, so the tweet is, have you heard of the first thing you say on the first of every month being rabbit, rabbit when you get up? And anyway, I'm_Mike_Y says this tweet is worded very poorly. So there you go, Thirsty Cal, some feedback for you. So maybe that may have skewed poll results. Just FYI.
I've never heard of it. So it's much like the Harry Potter and all those polls.
Now,
like,
let me ask you something.
Out of my comfort zone.
Is there a more definitive source in life than Wikipedia? Could anything
Jackson
be more reliable than Wikipedia?
Yes, everything is
Jackson
more reliable than Wikipedia.
Jackson has heard of it. And Jackson, quite honestly,
he's like 12 years old.
Right.
Calm down.
What?
So
Jackson's like 12.
Yeah, exactly. Jackson probably read
it. This is really not that
Jackson,
hard, by the
Jackson's
way.
Mom probably put him to bed last night with Rabbit Rabbit, some sort of book like that. Let's be honest. Like,
just like, literally, like, I just Googled Rabbit Rabbit. There's like a huge NPR piece on it. It's all over Wikipedia, all Hollywood Life. There's all this stuff. Like,
all over Wikipedia.
I'm just, okay, Matthew, saying is, does that mean your Wikipedia page isn't real?
My Wikipedia page has absolute mistakes, 100%. Among the things, it says I like you on my Wikipedia
page. But you have
page.
A page, like, I mean, therefore like, you
I was
exist.
Say, I don't have a Wikipedia page.
Rabbit,
I don't think.
Oh, well, I'm sure you do.
You don't.
I don't?
No, you don't.
Some of you also want to make one, and I'll send you a Gator shirt.
Be careful what you wish for.
Why not? I don't care. I'll go edit it after the
rabbit,
fact. But if someone does, seriously, Yater shirt coming your way.
Rabbit.
Just make sure to do a whole paragraph on his crazy hairy legs.
I could use it. Werewolf legs. All right, Stefania, okay. It's your injuries to watch. Rabbit is a real thing. We begin
so
with Patrick
shocking.
Mahomes. We're off the rails today.
I know. Patrick Mahomes. Stop laughing. Patrick Mahomes practicing.
He's my
Mahomie. He's your Mahomie. Well, he's probably not going to be your Mahomie this week.
Why?
That was to Matthew. That wasn't to you.
Oh, well, you know. I didn't know.
You knew. It's always to me. All right, what
Patrick
do you got? Patrick
Mahomes. Limited in practice. Everybody very excited when he first came back to practice last week, and that was too soon. He wasn't going to play. He's still working with the second team offense. Matt Moore's still working with the first team offense. All the tea leaves would point to Patrick Mahomes not being quite ready to go against the Vikings.
And we should point this out, Field, very quickly. When the Mahomes injury happened, and there were some reports of optimism out there, and Stefania has been preaching caution for quite some time, and so this makes sense that another game missed for Patrick Mahomes.
Stefania
that's the,
being
that's
right,
the current expectation.
Yeah,
exactly.
The sun rose this morning.
Just want to point that out.
Stefania, though, so Patrick Mahomes, we don't think will play on Sunday, so there are, I guess, implications for the rest of the offense, Matthew.
Sure. Yes.
Sammy Watkins, outside of...
When Patrick Mahomes is not playing quarterback, that is
allow
correct,
me to continue
Field.
My thoughts here. We
no,
still
you are the
good
best
about
the business
Tyreek
for a
Hill
reason.
And Travis Kelce, but Sammy Watkins, can you feel comfortable starting Sammy Watkins on Sunday? Very good Vikings pass defense he's playing. He has been held under 65 receiving yards in 4 straight games. His 45 yards last week actually was 4th amongst the Chiefs. Feels like a no.
Yeah, I mean, if the question is, can you feel comfortable starting him? Yeah, I would say that's a no. I have him 37th, so I'm outside my top 35. I'm not crazy about him. Weeks 2 through 8, he's wide receiver 70 on a per game basis. Like, we haven't seen that kind of Sammy Watkins game, and I like Matt Moore, but I don't, I think Matt Moore is better than you think he is, but against the Vikings, it's hard to get excited about the potential for Sammy Watkins. Could he have one big play? Of course he could, but yeah.
The intrigue begins with the Chiefs running backs. Last week, LeSean McCoy was the guy until he lost a fumble, and all of a sudden it became a Damian Williams show. So this is not fantasy sort of analytics or insight, Matthew. It's intuition more than anything else. Do you think that 7 days away from that fumble, the Chiefs just say, hey, LeSean McCoy is our best, most explosive runner, the guy who's the most potent threat to an opposing defense? He is going to be the starter again on Sunday? Or in your mind, are you expecting the Chiefs to go back to a more even split between he and Damian Williams, and that Damian Williams, by dint of that, might be a reasonable flex consideration? It's just guessing.
No. I mean, yes and no. So do I think they go back to LeSean McCoy? Like, if I had to start a Chiefs running back, if I had all of them available to me and I had to start a Chiefs running back, it would be LeSean McCoy. I have him at 31. I have Damian Williams at 35.
Okay.
So I have McCoy ranked ahead of Damian Williams. Do I think there's a significant difference between them? No, obviously. I've got them 4 spots apart. Here's the concern with LeSean McCoy, who made the hate list this week, right? Vikings have given up one rushing touchdown. One rushing touchdown this entire year, 181 carries they faced.
Doesn't feel like
they've given
a
up
lot,
one
yeah.
rushing touchdown. McCoy doesn't have more than 12 carries in a game this season, and that includes the games where he hasn't fumbled, right? Which is always a threat, right? We've seen it now where he's fumbled in two different games and then we haven't seen him again for the rest of the game. So that is a concern here as well. You know, and so in a game in which we think the Vikings offense has sort of turned a corner, right? That Kirk Cousins and that we think Minnesota will put up points against Kansas City, at least I do. I have Cousins as a top 10 play this week. So my expectation is they're going to have to throw against Minnesota. If you think about how this defense has looked over the last 4 weeks, right? They're ninth against the run. They're 14th against the pass. So to an extent of where people have been able to move the ball against Minnesota, and it's all been a struggle, but they've been, it's been more effective to move it against, through the air than on the ground. So yeah, I think LeSean McCoy is the guy that gets more work here because Damian Williams also sometimes cedes work to Darryl Williams, who they prefer more as a pass blocker. But it's all a mess, and in an ideal world, you're avoiding the Chiefs' backfield.
Davante Adams Stefania has missed, I believe, three straight games now because of that toe issue. Might that change on Sunday in Los Angeles?
He's actually missed four. He was injured back in week four with that turf toe injury. So he's been out for over a month, and I've talked about this before, how it was really clear that Davante Adams has been making progress, but that he was very particular about being 100%, kind of referencing concerns about other players who have gone back too soon and aggravated the injury and made it significantly worse. And also knowing what his game is predicated on, getting off the line quickly, things where he has to dig his toe in, hadn't been running full speed. Well, this week he was running faster, and yesterday he appears in practice with helmet and pads for the first time since the injury. So, you know, he's been essentially a DNP throughout the last month. And I think he came into last week's game as doubtful, but we knew he wasn't going to play.
Right.
I could foresee him coming in as questionable with this literally coming down to how they feel on Sunday.
This game is being played in Los Angeles, so it does not kick off until 4:25 on Sunday, or maybe 4 o'clock. But the point is that our hope is we'll have better information on Sunday morning about his availability. Obviously, if Davante Adams plays, you follow the formula and you play him as well. Adam Thielen.
Is there any Packers wide receiver you would start that isn't named Davante Adams this week, Field?
If he plays or if he doesn't play?
Either way.
If he plays, no. If he doesn't play, probably still not.
Yeah.
It would mean, it would be if I got crunched with other health concerns this week, or I sat someone like Larry Fitzgerald or Christian Kirk last night against San Francisco, and I instead, I guess that I would. I mean, I don't even know. I guess I go Marquez Valdes-Scantling for the chance of one big play.
Yeah, but that's the point. I mean, like, it is
right.
Complete.
My answer is no.
It's
not.
Yeah. Awesome.
My answer
that's
is basically, I'm not doing it.
I agree. Like, the only pass catchers I'm starting from the Packers this week with any sort of confidence is Adams if he's healthy, the two running backs.
That's right.
And then I suppose Jimmy Graham if
because
I'm truly desperate at tight
ends. Tight ends. Hashtag tight ends. Adam Thielen Stefania missed last week's game. Thursday night, of course, it was going to be a tough turnaround for him
right after
that hamstring injury against the Lions the Sunday before that. Might he be a fast recoverer?
Yeah, well, he has suggested that he is a speedy recoverer. This was the first game he's missed in 5 years, and he really didn't want to miss it. But I think, you know, wiser heads prevailed, and ultimately you don't want a very small hamstring injury to turn into a bigger one. He's been limited in practice both days, you know, wearing a sleeve on the leg, et cetera. But I do think that there's a good chance we see Adam Thielen. We'll get more after practice today.
All right. Well, if he plays, obviously, again, this is formulaic here. If he plays on Sunday, you feel good about that. Matthew just talked about that matchup and how Kirk Cousins is a top 10 play for him. It would really be fun to see this Vikings offense back at full strength because I think at their best, they have the ability to be like one of the three best offenses in football, given the talent they have at both wide receiver and the way that Dalvin Cook has played so far this season. I think maybe the most interesting injury for the weekend, Stefania, is James Conner. What's the likelihood that we'll see him on Sunday for Pittsburgh?
It's certainly not appearing likely that we're going to see him. He hasn't practiced. They got good news back on his AC joint injury that happened just late in the game last week.
Okay.
Obviously not a major injury. He had his arm in a sling. That's normal. Even with a minor sprain of the AC joint after the game, just to sort of give it some support. But he has not practiced at all. Jalen Samuels is now healthy. He was actually healthy enough he maybe could have played last week, but they felt like the conditioning wasn't there. So another week of practice for Jalen Samuels. I think that he is likely to be the number one guy. Benny Snell not practicing at all this week as well.
Yeah.
I would say, yeah, I always want to watch till Friday. Remember, James Conner had the knee injury that we thought he was not going to be back that week, and then he ended up playing. So I say they're going to give him down to the wire, but it feels like this is going to be Jalen Samuels.
So it sounds like it'll be Jalen Samuels. And what I think we're hoping for, I don't mean this because I don't want James Conner to play, but I think we want clarity, right? Like it will be more, from a fantasy perspective, it would be a more efficient decision if James Conner sit and you just say, hey, I'm playing Jalen Samuels,
exactly.
Right? Doing so
right.
With
and then
with
you, they'll back him up with Trey Edmonds.
Right.
And,
what you're weary right. of is, hey, James Conner plays, he's active, but it's
then
David Johnson 2.0.
By the way,
say, David Johnson, Chase Edmonds,
the location
exactly.
of the injury, like it's the point of the shoulder. So everybody's going to be trying to hit it. Everybody's going to try to make contact. There's no way to avoid contact, you know, and James Conner's a physical runner. Just right. watching him play, this is why he's had a few different injuries already this year. So I think that's all partly goes into the evaluation of whether he's going to be available or not.
So if James Conner is out and Jalen Samuels starts in this one, I think you like him. You think about weeks 15 and 16 last year where he was the 12th best running back in fantasy. Like when he has gotten run, he has been very successful. And, you know, I don't think you mind the matchup against the Indianapolis Colts who struggle against pass catching running backs. And so given the volume of work that you would get from Samuels if Connor is out, I think Samuels would easily be, you know, a top 12 play for me. I currently have James Connor at 12. I've ranked him as if he's going to play, but hearing what Stefania is saying, and we'll see how he practices today, my expectation is the rankings will update, and I'll have Connor out and Samuels up there inside my top 12.
Yeah, it certainly seems like the Steelers are one of those teams that give you a pretty good –
yes.
Mike Tomlin is about as transparent as any
yep.
coach in the NFL on
we
injuries.
We appreciate him.
We do. Last
we
one on
Mike
this one, Stefania, is T.Y. Hilton, that same game the Pittsburgh Steelers play the Colts. I believe the game is in Pittsburgh. T.Y. Hilton has been banged up, Stefania. This one has caught my attention over the past couple of days.
Well, yes, it does because T.Y. Hilton doesn't miss practice very often. He tweaked his calf in practice on Wednesday, was limited there, and then did not practice on Thursday. I will say this about the Colts. Sort of a pattern to how they do things. Now, T.Y. Hilton is a guy that they will give the most latitude to because he has been able
to.
He's a gamer, and he's also shown himself to be really good at going through rehab and recovering more quickly from soft tissue injuries than they typically would expect. So, all that being said, he will potentially have until Sunday, but what he does in practice today will tell you a lot. If he doesn't practice at all today, that's a big red flag. If he gets even limited work in, that's a pretty good indicator that he's going to try and go. So right. Friday, really important for him.
Another one here that, by the way, that if there is some ambiguity, Sunday morning, 11:30, inactives will be out to help you make your decision. Be attentive and watch Fantasy Football Now on ESPN2. Matthew, your love hate is out.
You're a company man.
Yes, I am. Matthew's Love Hate is out. It's always a must read on Thursday afternoons. Matthew, three loves, three hates. Let's begin. Let's actually do the loves first. Let's get right down to it. Who are your three loves of the week that you feel confident will outscore their projections?
I'll say Philip Lindsay of the Denver Broncos here. Like, what are they going to do? Let Brandon Allen throw it? Of course not. Look, we just don't know what
times.
You're going to get out of Brandon Allen. We don't. Here's what we do know, right? Philip Lindsay has at least 17 touches in three of the last four games. Season high five catches last week. And the Browns. Like, the Browns are one of the worst run defenses in the NFL. Not cool, Keith knows. And in fact, over the last 4 weeks, only one team has been worse than Cleveland. They allow 4.8 yards per carry, seventh most, 3.2 yards per carry before first contact. That's fifth most. Give me some Philip Lindsay and candidly, also Royce Freeman. I think both guys are good plays again, as I expect Denver to go run heavy with Brandon Allen under center. Allen Robinson, A-Rob, makes the love list for me this week as well. I think he's, you know, a borderline top 10 play for me as well. At least five catches in five straight games, at least 60 receiving yards in all five of those games here. And he is a perimeter wide receiver. And what do you do against Philadelphia? You start your perimeter wide receivers. I mean, it's the one piece of the Bears passing offense that's working is Allen Robinson. And so in a great matchup against Philadelphia that has given up the most perimeter yards per game, it's tied for the most perimeter touchdown scored per game. Yeah, you're starting Allen Robinson. You're starting him with confidence. And then finally, Sam Darnold. I know. It has been a brutal return since he has come back, and he's been seeing ghosts. And
but
the
Halloween's
whole thing.
Done. The ghosts
Halloween
have retired for
done.
A year.
The ghosts are gone. So, did somebody come as the ghost? Was that a costume?
You
I
yesterday,
was
you were
oh,
the ghost
the
that Sam Darnold saw because you weren't in the picture, so that's what you came at.
Got it.
Nice.
That was pretty good. Somebody, I like that crossed my feet on social media, and I'm like, I didn't totally understand what that was, but it's very funny. That's actually very clever.
Thanks. Thanks, Matthew. That was me. That was all me.
Anyway, so yes, I am the ghost that Sam Darnold saw.
That was the funny one.
Yes, well done.
Thank
nice
you,
nice job.
Thanks.
You're the best. You're awesome.
Thanks, man.
You're really good.
Thanks, dude.
You deserve a praise. You deserve a raise or something like that.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Let's not get crazy. All right. We
do still have Jackson. Here's the point. Sam Darnold. Back to Sam Darnold. Let me reset for video. All right. Sam Darnold also makes the hate. Let me totally reset for video now. Sorry, guys. By the way, that right there is what happens like 20 times a day during the fantasy show on ESPN Plus. Secret Squirrel. I'm brutal.
Totally accurate.
You have no idea.
It's fun.
How many
though.
Takes it
it's
takes
a good
me.
Time.
We have a lot of fun. On the fantasy show, all we do is laugh. Anyway, Sam Darnold makes the love list this week as well. Field Yates. He's got Miami. Like, you had me at Miami. I get it. It has been a really tough stretch here for Sam Darnold since he returned, the ghost, the whole thing. But Dolphins on the second most yards per pass attempt, the second most touchdown passes per game. They're averaging the third fewest sacks per game. Xavien Howard now on IR. Like, pick a stat, and I can give you a bad Miami Dolphins stat revenge game for Adam Gase. I believe Sam
and Ryan
Darnold.
Fitzpatrick.
Huh?
And Ryan Fitzpatrick. It's a weekly occurrence.
Yeah, fair. But anyway, Sam Darnold for me is a guy that I think has a top 15 week in him. And you look at his upcoming stretch from this week on, at least through week 14, it's a great stretch for Sam Darnold. I think he's got a potential to get to 20 points today.
The NFL will remain bullish on Sam Darnold regardless of how the rest of the season plays out. But the next 6 weeks, I think, are going to be very telling for Adam Gase as a coach. I think this people will either change their opinion of him or their opinion will be reinforced based off how they play over the next 6 weeks with a very good schedule.
Very quickly, I'll just say that I don't know that that's I'm not the biggest Adam Gase fan myself. But again, like, I think the point is, like, everyone loves Kyle Shanahan these days. Everyone loves John Lynch. And they were killing him the first 2 years.
Yeah, but this is the NFL. Things aren't fair like that, you know?
I know, but, like, you've got to give it. You've got to give a coach and a regime time to sort of build something. That's what they did in San Francisco, and they're reaping the benefits this year. And,
Don't tell the Cardinals that. 1 year of...
I know. Like,
poor Steve Wilkes.
Completely. And sometimes it goes on too long. Hashtag fire Bruce Allen. But, at some point, you have to give at least a little bit of leeway here to Adam Gase.
All right, so all year long, we've been saying play everyone against the Jets and play everyone against the Dolphins. We've also been saying sit your Jets and sit your Dolphins for the most part, absent a couple of exceptions. Now they play each other. You just talked about Sam Darnold, Matthew. Other players that you feel like, not Le'Veon Bell. Of course you're playing Le'Veon Bell. Or you should be playing him in most weeks. We know that he has been inefficient, but his volume is great. Other players on the periphery of this game that should be started include who? Who do you love this week in this matchup?
Robbie Anderson and Jamison Crowder. Again, nice. It stands to reason that if I think Sam Darnold has a big game, I think his pass catchers do as well. And so, look, the top pass catcher on five of Miami's seven opponents so far this year have caught at least five passes, right, when they've played the Dolphins. Anderson, when he catches five passes, averages over 20 fantasy points per game. And then you think about Jamison Crowder, who is Sam Darnold's favorite target so far this year, right? And the slot role against Miami has absolutely crushed so far this year. They're giving up over 11%. They have a touchdown percentage of over 11%, which is tied for the most in the NFL with Cleveland there, Keith. There you go. Congratulations there. Crowder, who should get a heavy target share in a great matchup against the Miami Dolphins as well, again, who really struggle against the slot. Yeah, give me Crowder and Anderson both as top 30 plays this week.
I'll mention a couple of Dolphins just because there are some players that might crack the radar here for fantasy this week. Mark Walton is a top 25 play for each one of us. I got some people that retorted after I had him on the waiver wire call. I'm like, yeah, man, like, nice number one waiver wire ad amongst running backs. He had 14 touches for like 50 total yards last week. I'm like, you know something? Fine. Go ahead. Add a backup fullback instead, because that's who else is available right now on the waiver wire.
He's brutal.
A starting running back, and he's actually shown pretty well in the opportunities that he has gotten. I know it hasn't been super efficient, but it's the freaking Dolphins right now. Yes, volume could be a good thing. We do like him as a top 25 play this week. DeVante Parker quietly has been pretty solid in terms of heavily targeted over the past four games. I think there's some deeper league flex value in DeVante Parker. I mean, he's starting for us in the War Room League this week because, well, a lot of bye weeks and injuries. But still, the guy has been targeted a ton of late.
A lot of people have been hanging on to Chris Herndon all season long. I know he's been on your waiver wire column. You guys starting Chris Herndon?
Well, Stephon's going to play?
Yeah, well, here's the thing. That's a million-dollar question. It's when are we going to get the debut of Chris Herndon? Out four games with suspension, comes back, hurts his hamstring like second day in practice, and he's missed three games since. Now, last week he was doubtful after limited practice, and then they ruled him out on Saturday. This week, limited practice again. I think the feeling is that, you know, maybe it's going to be one more week. But here's why they traveled to Miami. Next week, they're home to the New York Giants. It's sort of feels like that might be the time. But let's see what comes in today with practice. And he feels like he's getting closer. But yeah, once he's back, you're starting him.
Little fun here. Just for fun. Let's pick this game on this podcast.
If you need a tight end to fill it, because Chris Herndon has potential to score on that team.
Yes, he does. He's a very talented guy. So whenever he comes back, he will be intriguing. And I would say even 10-team leagues.
By the way, Thirsty Kyle puts up on the screen that Fantasy Life, you know, my Fantasy Life app, which is free and crushes on the alerts.
Nice.
Gets you out of the alerts. Says that Brian Costello, his Twitter feed via an alert through the Fantasy Life app, says Herndon looking doubtful. Is that right, Thirsty Kyle?
App says, yeah.
There you go.
The app says it. It must be true, just like Wikipedia.
But there you go. FantasyLifeApp.com. Download it for free. Make yourself a better fantasy player.
1-6 Jets. 0-7 Dolphins. Game being played in Miami. Just for fun, let's pick this game, can we?
Sure.
How about this? There are moments in life where you want to seize greatness. You see the opportunity. It is apparent. It is in front of you. You have two choices. Do you take it or do you wilt? The Dolphins, they take the opportunity and they get their first win of the season. No more tanking for Tua. Welcome to Miami, Joe Burrow. I got the Dolphins winning. How about you?
Give me the Jets. J-E-T-S. Jets, Jets, Jets.
I liked what I saw the Dolphins defense last week. Like, they played Pittsburgh tough. You know what? I'm going to go with Field. I'm going to take the Dolphins at home in Miami.
All right.
Yeah, that's right.
Nope. I'm taking the Jets.
Okay.
I'm sorry. It was a really rousing speech, Field, though. It really got me excited.
Thank you.
Nope. Dolphins are not going to get it done.
So,
sorry, Stefan, you're wrong.
You guys took the, it says here, Thirsty Kyle throws this up on the screen. We took the over on 11 seconds for Matthew to make the pick. It took him less than a second.
Yes, we had a bet going back here on how long you would hem and haw before you finally made a decision. And then Fields,
you know what?
took way too long.
Do you want to go back and change the answer?
Screw you guys. You know what? Like, read between the lines, all you guys back
there.
There's
a side camera that catches all that stuff. Yeah.
There you go.
Whatever. Can we do a board bet on a game or no?
Yeah, we can do a board bet on a game.
You want it or no?
Field is desperately trying to make up ground.
No, I'm just trying to have fun. You said YOLO, right?
That's fine. I will do this. I will take the Jets. I say the Jets win the. I say the Jets beat the Dolphins in Week 9.
I say the Dolphins beat the Jets in Week 9. Put it on the board. I'm so going 0-2. All right, Matthew, you smell nice today. It must be that deodorant you're wearing. Tell us more about Old Spice.
Field, this branded commercial segment has been brought to you by the official sweat protection of the NFL, Old Spice Sweat Defense. Reminding you that rookie Montez Sweat has brought sweat into the NFL, which isn't cool, but the sweat-fighting power of Sweat Defense Spray definitely is. He just snuck right in under Old Spice's nose, though through the draft on TV. Not cool. So this season, don't forget that sweaty Montez Sweat, too sweaty for the NFL, even if he tells you it's just his name or whatever.
Hail to the Redskins. Hail perspiration control. All right, Matthew, time now to get to the hate side of your love-hate. And again, these are three players you do not hate personally. Players that you believe, in terms of their projections, they will not meet those projections laid out by our friend Mike Clay, begins with a certain Colts quarterback.
Yeah, and Jacoby Brissett makes the hate list so far. Look, one of the things is I think the Steelers have a really good defense. As much as their offensive struggles, they have a really good defense. All right, so the Pittsburgh Steelers, they're 11th against the pass over the last 4 weeks. They're the sixth best red zone defense this entire year. And I think that's really key here, right? How good they are in the red zone, because Brissett needs the red zone for his fantasy production.
Yes.
He ranks third among all quarterbacks in terms of most fantasy points in the red zone. Only Russell Wilson and Deshaun Watson have more than Jacoby Brissett. However, among points not in the red zone, he ranks just 25th among quarterbacks. Like, the majority of his fantasy success so far this year has become about points in the red zone. When they get in close, he's been throwing for touchdowns. And now you tell me from Stefania that T.Y. Hilton either isn't playing in this game or will be less than 100% if he does go. Games in Pittsburgh. I have Jacoby Brissett outside my top 12 for the week.
I was going to say, you might have some company if Hilton sits. All right, Sonny Michel, also on the hate list.
Yeah, just outside my top 25 here. Nick Chubb, they're not cool, Keith, is the only running back to have over 65 rushing yards in a game against the Ravens so far this season. Only two running backs have gotten more than 14 carries against Baltimore. Like, it's been a very good run defense so far this year, just 1.1 yards per carry after first contact. That is the lowest amount in the league. And so Sony Michel, who's not really involved in the passing game, who's been vultured before, and what I expect to be a little bit of a low-scoring game here in Baltimore. Yeah, Sony Michel, I think, is merely a flex play. I think this is much more of a James White game.
And this must pain you desperately, Matthew. But Terry McLaurin.
Yeah, and it's not Terry McLaurin's fault, right? I mean, I love Terry McLaurin. He was somebody that I thought about. I have his jersey. I bought his jersey. I thought about wearing it today. However, my concern here is a couple of things. First off, it's a tough matchup with Buffalo, right?
Very
Bills
tough.
Have allowed two, count them, two touchdowns to wide receivers this entire year.
Okay.
Like, we're into week nine. They've given up just two passing touchdowns to wide receivers so far this year. Four fewer catches in four straight games for McLaurin. And, you know, you think he's going to see a decent amount of Tre'Davious White in this one. It's not a good matchup. And by the way, the last 2 days for the Redskins, Dwayne Haskins has taken the majority of first team reps. Not Case Keenum, not Colt McCoy. And look, I'm a Haskins fan. I was excited when they drafted him. But from what little we've seen so far, Dwayne Haskins does not look ready for prime time just yet.
I was going to say, you're a Haskins fan. You're also a believer in patience.
I am a believer in patience. And I'm a believer that, you know, on the road at Buffalo is not the best place to make making your starting debut in the NFL. And certainly, if Haskins starts, I know he's college teammates with McLaurin, so there is a connection there. That would be helpful, but it would make me nervous. I have McLaurin, again, just outside my top 25. I'm his wide receiver 27 for the season.
It's because Case Keenum is still dealing with the after effects of a concussion. So Case Keenum limited at practice. We'll see what happens with him.
Bill Callahan has said...
It does seem like Haskins would start, not Colt McCoy, right?
That seems to be the way things are trending, and if Case Keenum does clear... He is going to start. That's what Bill Callahan has said. So we'll find out probably on Saturday afternoon. So after doing nothing all year long, David Montgomery finally had a breakout game in week 8. Now we have him ranked inside the top 20 against the Eagles, who are a fairly stout run defense. I think Daniel is sort of speaking for the fans here and saying, are you guys sure you haven't bitten off more than you can chew? Like, are you sure you want to trust this David Montgomery? And my retort would be, the volume has been great all year. Not great all year, but it has been solid for stretches of the year. And it's just been the efficiency that has been bad so far this season. But when you go to rankings, Matthew, because the Bears continue to say that they want to run the football a ton, that's where my faith is. Like, it's the one that they did well last week was run the football. They're just sick with that. It's everything else they got to worry about, specifically the kicking and the quarterback.
The piece here that's, I think, a little bit of a concern here is that I think people, first off, Tariq Cohen's being used entirely as a pass catcher. Mike Davis is nowhere to be found. So when they run the ball, it's going to be with David Montgomery. And I think people still think that Philadelphia has a good run defense. They're 20th against the run over the last 4 weeks. They've had a lot of injuries against that along that defensive line there, Field. Can run on the Eagles now.
They've been doing a sort of a merry-go-round of defensive tackles, not named Fletcher Cox, of late.
Yeah, so that's my expectation here is on the road at Philadelphia that they want to try to establish the run. You know, all jokes aside, like, I think it's another heavy workload in a matchup that doesn't scare you. So it's been a confusing, confounding year for those people that have rostered David Montgomery, and I have him at 20. So I have him at 19. You have him at 20. Stephon, you have him at 19. So we're all right there. We think he's a low-end RB2, but I think that's based on the volume, the matchup, and the fact that a lot of good running backs are on a bye this week.
Yeah, let me just pull back the onion one more layer, and it's not even specific to who they're playing this week or how he has been performing, but when you're doing your rankings every single week and you're looking at players that have been more effective recently, like, for example, Jamal Williams. Jamal Williams has been a better running back probably over the season, but specifically over the last few weeks compared to David Montgomery.
Sure.
Okay? David Montgomery is still far more likely to touch the football somewhere between 20 and 25 times
100%.
Than Jamal Williams, who's at like 8 to 12. So if you are taking, if you would rather start Jamal Williams than David Montgomery, I get it, because Jamal Williams has been better. But from a rankings process standpoint, it's who, based off of their volume, has the most likely chance to get into the end zone and have a couple of big plays. And
also, right after a coach has said they want to run the ball more, they do it, and he's effective, and it ends up being productive for said running back who you're ranking.
There are no questions. There just aren't that many running backs that have a chance at 20 touches in a game per week. It feels like David Montgomery is one of them. We're going to come back in just a minute and talk about quarterbacks that have a pretty favorable slate on Sunday. But first, we have a word from the Fantasy Show.
You're in the 06010. Focus. Fantasy. Fantasy. Focus.
We are back, and we are officially pandering to the great Daniel Dopp, who is wearing a Kerryon Johnson jersey today, but it's his quarterback, Matthew Stafford, that we want to talk about, because Matthew Stafford, and I know that our friend Dan Orlovsky has been conducting this train, has been one of the best quarterbacks in football when you just evaluate total play. I don't know where he ranks for the season in terms of fantasy points per game, but he has been awesome this year. It's just a quote-unquote real football quarterback. He now gets the Raiders, who we know their secondary has been a major issue. We know their pass rush has been a major issue of late. Is Matthew Stafford one of the must-start quarterbacks of the week if you have him on your roster?
I think so. Look, I will say this. There's one part that gives me a little bit of pause.
Okay, which is what?
Which is what? They're going to Oakland. He's going to the black hole, and I just feel like I don't really have a ton of stats to back this up.
It's a gut call. That's fine.
But it's just this one's a gut call, which is just sometimes teams go to the black hole and they just and the Raiders
and they fall into it.
They fall into it. Yeah. And by the way, this is a better Raiders team than we've seen in a while. And yes, their secondary has absolutely struggled. And it was a bad secondary. And then they trade Conley away. I mean, so that makes me a little bit nervous. And Stafford has traditionally not been nearly as good on the road as he has been at home. Having said all that, this is a guy who leads the NFL in air yards per attempt and deep yards per game. He's got third most deep attempts per game, third most. You know, in Oakland is allowing allowing a league high 15.3% deep pass touchdown percentage. They're fifth highest in terms of deep completion percentage. Like, you can throw deep on the Oakland Raiders. There's a lot of stats that suggest you can throw deep on the Oakland Raiders, and Stafford is chucking it deep right here. It's a sneaky high over under with over 50. It's one of the highest on the slate in week number 9. So there seems to be a lot of things that sort of line up that tell you Matthew Stafford should have a very good game. And I get that, and I'm buying that. I will say there's just a little piece that makes me nervous. That's why I thought about putting him on the love list, and then I was like, I don't know. I just had a weird twingy gut thing on that.
The first home game for the Raiders in 7 weeks. They have been on the road, and one of their home games technically was played in London, but a game being played in Oakland, it feels like forever ago because it basically has been forever ago. But I still like Matthew Stafford. Like, for example, if you had Kyler Murray and you wanted to bench him last night, which didn't work out, but process-wise would have been a reasonable 100% call to make, right? Or,
and by the way, without the Andy Isabella play, like, Kyler Murray's, I mean,
sure,
he had struggled for quite some time in that game.
It was a reasonable call to make. There are other quarterbacks that you might feel nervous about this week. Again, I still feel like I'd have Lamar Jackson as a top 10 play, but if you're really nervous about this Patriots defense, which we understand, you might play Matthew Stafford. If you've got somebody on a bye this week, like the Saints quarterbacks or anybody. Anyways, Matthew Stafford, a player that I think should be started all over the place in fantasy. But
yeah, I mean, listen, I'm the lowest on him among the three of us. I'm at 5.
Yeah, so we think of big days in store for Matthew Stafford. He has been red hot for the past 2 weeks, in which he has been QB2 over those 2 weeks. But the running backs, you don't feel great about here. Now, one note, they did streamline the position a little bit when they released Paul Perkins. They eventually re-signed him to the practice squad, but now it's a three-headed attack. Trey Carson, J.D. McKissic, and also Ty Johnson. But last week the game begins, it's Trey Carson, J.D. McKissic gets just one carry. It feels like this week, if you're starting a Lions running back, it's one of two things. You're desperate, or you know something that we presently do not know.
Because, by the way, in addition to the fact that it's a three-headed monster, like, the Raiders have been good against the run. They're sixth against the run over the last 4 weeks.
Interesting,
they've played good defense. And so, like, they've, you know, credit John Gruden and his staff. Like, the Raiders, I think, are playing above expectation so far this year.
No question
They've been very competitive. So, in a lot of games.
That makes me like Matthew Stafford throwing the ball even more.
Right. Yeah. They're going to have a hard time running the football. They should be able to throw the football. Part of the reason why we have Kenny Golladay way inside of our top 10, and Marvin Jones as a top 20 play as well. Time now for what many continue to call the most electric piece of content that not just this podcast produces,
but ESPN.
But ESPN produces.
Yeah,
it's probably why we have a record downloading month of October.
It might be.
I think it was the debut of Field and Stream. I think I just hit the nail on the head.
Did you just come up with a new segment? Oh, you guys just nailed that high five.
I know. He's Field
Yates. Field and Stream for week 9, go.
All right, and I would, you don't think I'm going to pick Gardner Minshew to begin? Shout out to you, Minshew Mania. I'm sorry that I shaved my mustache, but Gardner Minshew has been awesome throughout this season. He's still available at about 40% of leagues. He's quarterback 11 on the season with 139.1 points. And if you look at all the quarterbacks that have at least three games of 21-plus points since week five, that would be pretty good. What, 21 points? That's an excellent day for a quarterback. There are three of them since week five. Or sorry, there are two of them since week five with three such games. Gardner Minshew and Deshaun Watson. They play in the same field on Sunday, and this Texans defense, it can be summed up in one way. They traded for Gerrion Conley last week, a player who was really struggling for Oakland, who has its own issues in the secondary. J.J. Watt is out for the season. We like Gardner Minshew to have his way on Sunday. Same game, different team, different position. Darren Fells, who somebody, and I apologize who it was, tweeted, is having the rare 33-year-old breakout season. Darren Fells, though, has been a touchdown maker for Houston. He's tight end three over the past 4 weeks with 57.4 fantasy points. He's available in two-thirds of leagues. And I get it. There's some touchdown luck involved here, but he is a very big body. The Texans are likely to be, or they are without Will Fuller this weekend because he didn't even travel to Houston. That's one more weapon that is out. And Deshaun Watson's magical against a Jacksonville defense that is still very good, but not quite what it has been in the past. And earlier on, we talked about the Colts and Steelers in the game from an offensive standpoint. But I think this Colts defense is a reasonable streaming option as well. They're available in about 60% of leagues, and they're one of five defenses that has entered Week 9 with three straight games of eight or more fantasy points. They rank 10th in sack percentage this week. We know it's going to be Mason Rudolph. We think James Conner might not play in this game on Sunday. The Colts defense is tough. They always play close games. Literally every game they've played so far this season has been decided by 7 points or fewer. So the Colts defense should have an opportunity to cash in on Sunday. Three options for you to stream if your starter is out or you are nervous about the potential matchup. Time now for Stefania. Tell us about SeatGeek.
Do you ever feel like ticketing websites make getting to the event difficult on purpose?
Oh my gosh, all the time.
Of course. It's as if they're so big they can get away with not caring about the customer experience. With millions of live event tickets and a price match guarantee, SeatGeek proves there's a better way. Search sports, live music, comedy, and more. SeatGeek has the tickets you're looking for all in one place. Why is SeatGeek better than the rest? SeatGeek pulls together millions of tickets from all over the web. Then it rates each deal on a scale of 1 to 10. Finally, SeatGeek displays them on an interactive seat map. SeatGeek breaks down the details. Green dots mean good deals. Red dots are overpriced. And every purchase is fully guaranteed, so you can shop for tickets with confidence. SeatGeek will even give you $10 off your first SeatGeek purchase. All you need to do is use our promo code. Download the SeatGeek app today and use promo code FFF for $10 off on your first purchase. That's promo code FFF for $10 off on your first purchase.
Maybe you can go to the 49ers game next Monday night with star Fonya Bell. And if you see her there, you can ask her about all the latest injury information. If you don't see her there, you just listen to this podcast like so many of you did this past record-setting month. You can get information like that we are about to have right now, Stefania. Four players with some quick-hitting information.
Yeah.
What's the latest?
Quick hitters.
What?
Boondoggly.
Yeah. Notice none of your segments are called quick-hitting.
None. None. That's because that would be off-brand for me. Off-brand. People enjoy me talking.
Yes. Well,
that's debatable. There may be two schools of thought.
You know, you can hit the fast-forward button on the pod. Anyway, four quick hits for this week include Delanie Walker, who sat out last week. Here's a guy who's a gamer, probably came as a surprise.
And this is important for people that have Jonnu Smith.
That's right. And you know, last week when he was not practicing, Delanie Walker gave Jonnu Smith the blessing. He basically said, "This guy's awesome. I'm totally confident that he can handle it." That was also Delanie Walker's way of letting us know that he was probably going to be out.
Yep.
He hasn't practiced yet this week. So I'm looking at potentially another Jonnu Smith start in place of Delanie Walker.
Matthew nailed that one.
And that's a guy that would have been a field. Yes. Jonnu Smith was my bold call last week on Fantasy
Long Shot.
My long shot. Ended up working out. Obviously had a big game here, but he would be somebody else for field and stream.
Yes, he would. The reason why he was mentioned, we just fit him elsewhere. So that
fair
was
enough.
Yeah, yeah. See how that goes. They kind of gave him.
I don't listen during the pre-show meeting.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Number two, Miles Sanders hurt his shoulder last week. And at first they thought it might be something serious. Turned out not to be something serious. Was back in full practice already by yesterday. Miles Sanders on track to play this week, guys.
Okay.
D.D. Westbrook. Remember him?
I do,
Jags?
Yes.
Yeah, neck and shoulder. And then played last week, coming in questionable because of that, but left the game early after aggravating. Now, this week, this is always concerning when a player goes in and ends up flaring up an injury and is forced to leave the game and not able to return. But he traveled with the team to London. They have a 9:30 kickoff. My understanding is that he is going to try to play through this. He has been limited in practice over in London. We should get an early heads up just because of the time difference over there. But I do expect D.D. Westbrook to try and give it a go. And then Sterling Shepard. Remember, we haven't seen him in a while because of concussion issues. Back in a non-contact jersey originally. But he is now closer to returning out of that. Full practice yesterday and just awaiting the final clearance. So he's still in the concussion protocol, but it sounds like that final clearance could be coming very soon.
Okay, that's good news. Obviously, they have until Sunday to submit their injury, Saturday to submit their injury report for a Monday night game. They play the Dallas Cowboys. Should be a fun game. Looking forward to that. Yeah. Danny Dimes gets his first taste of DeMarcus Lawrence in that vaunted Dallas defensive pass rush.
Yeah, it feels like that's more of a fun game for us than it is for him.
Okay, probably true.
Yeah.
Last one here. Yes. Brandon Allen, who is starting for the Broncos at quarterback on Sunday, makes his NFL debut, and the Broncos have been a hot mess offensively and sort of defensively at times as well this season. They play the Browns, who they've been a hot mess in a lot of ways this year. Cortland Sutton, Matthew. He's a really talented player. He's got at least six targets in every game this season. Should he still be started this week, though, with Brandon Allen and the uncertainty that comes along with a guy who, as I mentioned, he's never thrown a pass before?
Wow.
Yeah, look, I mean, I think it's volume and opportunity should be there for Cortland Sutton, but, like, this is going to be a tough matchup, to your point. You know, the Browns bring pressure at the second highest rate in the NFL. Like, only the Patriots bring it more. And so, look, quarterbacks struggle when under pressure. And the Broncos line has played poorly this year, to be kind. And, you know, they've had some injuries as well. And so, yeah, I mean, I have Cortland Sutton at wide receiver 24, which is about where you guys have him as well. You guys slightly higher, but we all have him just outside the top 20. So he's a wide receiver 3, or he's a flex play with upside. Like
That's the question that people have. Is there upside?
Yes.
Okay.
100% there's upside. Because he's big enough and fast enough that could you see an Andy Isabella type play from that we saw last night? Could you see that from Cortland Sutton? Of course you could. Like, they'll take some deep shots to him. He's talented enough. He can beat one-on-one coverage. Just can Brandon Allen get him the ball? Can Brandon Allen stay upright long enough to get him the ball? And ultimately, like, there's risk there, which is why I have him outside my top 20. I would have him much higher than that if Flacco, believe it or not, were under center. But with Brandon Allen, yes, I think he is a risk-reward wide receiver 3 this week.
I'm curious. I mean, I here's the thing. This might be, and this is not super bold, like, could the offense be better with him?
With Brandon Allen?
Yeah, like what we're grading it against is not like the standard is that.
No, yeah, I mean, like we don't know.
Right?
We don't know.
Isn't it weird how the Broncos traded for Joe Flacco and got widely panned for it? People were like, dude, you just traded the pick for Joe Flacco to be your starter, and it turned out it didn't work. Weird.
Weird to see how that all happened. They've not had good quarterback luck since 18 retired in Denver. But here's the thing. We literally have no idea what Brandon Allen could be awesome. Yeah. I mean, like,
well, he could be. It feels unlikely, right?
Feels unlikely. But think about this. Think about what we were saying when Nick Foles went down. We're like, oh, there goes all our D.D. Westbrook and DJ Shark shares, like Gardner Minshew. Okay. People were saying that before Minshew Mania took over, before people got a look at him. Well, right.
You're getting the death stare.
I'm not, it's blue steel. That's what I'm getting from Field Yates there. Right? But people were saying that. This is weird and creepy.
That.
Like, right? Sabanya, Secret Squirrel.
People
like,
weren't looking
cool
at me funny.
Yeah, someone here.
Only turn to me when you need something you're not getting from Field. Whether it's fashion advice or you're not getting support on your call.
Factually correct.
Only time you come to
you're
me.
My handcuff.
No. I will not
fine, Daniel.
It.
Fine, Daniel. In a desperate time, I will turn to you. My lonely heart turns to you. What? Right? Real talk. Before Gardner Minshew started, people were like, really? Like,
no, of
what
course.
Was like,
I'm
it was
being
a six-round
funny.
Pick.
Yes,
I know you
there were a lot of concerns about Gardner Minshew. Now, the difference is that Gardner Minshew, like, the second he stepped in, he started to play well, right?
Yeah.
Like, so we may have been saying that for, like, you know, two snaps, but then all of a sudden he played really well against the Chiefs, and it was like, wait, maybe not so much. Like, maybe we will be okay with Gardner Minshew under center for the Jacksonville Jaguars. So yesterday we had a ton of fun with the costumes, and we were bummed to not see you there, Matthew, but yep. You had a great time on NFL Live and, of course, the fantasy show as well. And although many chimed in and thought that, you know, voted for whose costume they liked the most, we can all agree that the actual best costume comes from @FinchNissen on Twitter. And if you're watching right now on the live stream, here's a look at what it was.
There you go. Well, that's amazing. Done. That's amazing.
Live stream is not going to be able to see it, unfortunately. We can't have it up on the thing. So follow @FantasyFocus if you want to be able to see it.
Yeah, they retweeted it. @FantasyFocus has the picture. It is a bunch of people dressed up as traffic cones.
Oh, you know who they're dressed up as?
No, they're all dressed up as Stefania.
Sorry. I thought that was the implication. My bad. I thought it would be a little bit more difficult to just say they dress up like Stefania Bell and have people understand it. So
fair.
The question is, do we think they were doing that in paying homage to you, or they were just being cones and one of them in that group happens to be also a fan of this podcast?
Yeah, I think it was more the latter.
Okay.
You know what's sort of interesting, by the way?
What's very interesting?
Like, they're all drinking Bud Light?
No. So up on the screen, they put the picture of the Fantasy Focus Twitter stream, right, mm-hmm. on the screen. And so, you know how Twitter basically does trends, like the trends that are specific for you. So I have my own Twitter stream up here, right? And so, like the trending for me is Terminator Dark Fate, which makes sense. Like I like action movies and everything like that. The number one trend for the Fantasy Focus is Mariah Carey. I have no idea why Mariah Carey is trending in America right now, but,
Christmas music, Matthew.
What?
Christmas music, that's why.
Christmas music, right.
Yeah.
Mariah Carey, of course.
Halloween.
So, but just like, so why does Twitter think the Fantasy Focus Twitter handle?
I think you're misinterpreting
it.
You like you're looking at, cause Matthew, hold
it
on.
It says trends for you. Yeah, what am I looking at?
Yours also says Fitbit. Yeah. Clearly it's not tailored to you.
No. I'll tell you why I'll be honest with you.
Fitbit stock is way up.
No, Fitbit so Google acquired Fitbit today.
Right, which is a big acquisition for them.
Big acquisition. And so I am very interested in entrepreneurship, investorship, VC stuff. Like I follow a bunch of VCs,
how do you know this is for you?
It's a trend for me. That's why Fitbit is trending for me, not because I exercise a lot, but because
it's
an acquisition.
I have this on my screen too.
Right. So I just don't know why Mariah Carey isn't trending for me. That's my point. Mariah Carey is trending for Fantasy Focus.
There's your homework for the weekend. Right? Figure out how trends work on Twitter. Everybody else's homework for the weekend is set your lineups and
get that
W. We are back on Monday with the podcast, but you'll see us on Sunday. Fantasy Football Now, 10 a.m. Eastern time on ESPN2. Remember, the game starts at 9:30 on Sunday morning.
Yeah, we got a London game, 9:30. Get your lineups in early. He's @FieldYates on Twitter and Instagram. She is @StefaniaB87 on Instagram and @Stefania_ESPN on Twitter. He's @SomethingToBreak. Secret Squirrel is @SomethingToBreak on the gram. And @DanielDopp on Twitter. @KeithLipscomb over there on the Twitter. If you'd like to follow Not Cool Keith. And @KyleSoppyESPN. On the Twitter. I am @MatthewBerryTMR on all forms of social media, except the Fantasy Life app, where, of course, I'm only @MatthewBerry.
And is it @JacksonNigello?
How do you spell that? Go ahead, try to spell that.
A-J-E-L-L-O.
One more time.
He doesn't do it right.
A-J-E-L-L-O.
Like A-Jello shot.
A-Jello.
Okay, Stefan.
Jackson A-Jello.
Yes. I feel like it should be your new
Keith
Twitter.
Keith or Kyle,
handle.
Are you on Twitter? Are either of you guys on the gram?
Matthew understands.
Yeah.
I am not on the gram.
Okay. Neither is Kyle.
Kyle's not on the gram either. Okay, there you go.
I have nothing to share.
I got everyone's social media handles.
No, we're good.
I don't know, Lil Sweet. Maybe you should start posting
the sweet one.
The sweet one.
For all of us here at the 06010, I hope you had a happy Halloween. Happy National Jersey Day.
Bunny, bunny, rabbit, rabbit.
Oh, for the love
rabbit, rabbit.
Peace out.
He's a fantasy guru. In a boat on an island, going full Hainsworth without even trying. Award-winning creations, like his news or noise segment, are reasons we all love the cut of his jib. Country fast and strong, bordering away again in Matthew Berryville. Searching for a field shoe in a pile of junk. When you lose a bet, you have
He's the king of football fantasy. He's Matthew Berry. He's Matthew Berry.